Welcome to Press Start, the show all about video games, where we give our takes and our commentary and our thoughts. It's all the same thing. I'm Jackson McGilvery.
I'm Madeline Grant.
I'm Trisha Navidad.
And I'm Noah Cote.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome back to episode 2 of Press Start.
Well, it's welcome back to Press Start.
Yeah, I guess the last week wasn't episode 2.
No.
That was
I mean, we could just do a thing where every week is episode 2.
Yeah.
And then everybody's the podcast, like, just kind of getting used to us.
The podcast is now Press Start episode 2.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay, cool.
All right.
We're all in agreement.
So there's a lot of video game news that's been going on lately, guys.
Is there?
And I think first and foremost that we should talk about is just to be aware, everyone, I think we do know it. What day is it today?
International Women's Day.
As of recording this. Yeah.
As of recording
this. So when this comes out, it won't be International Women's Day. But
it should be every day, though.
Yeah.
Cool.
If one of you guys say, when's it going to be International Men's Day, I'm going to...
It's in November.
...hop over this table. Oh, yeah, there is one.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? Oh.
There's a legitimate International Men's Day.
Yeah, like November 16th or something.
Wait, what? Really?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
I didn't know that. Equality, guys.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, but isn't a crazy show of patriarchy right now that we just... opened up the show for National Women's Day and already we're talking about National Men's Day. Come on, you guys.
Yeah, there's room for change.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's good in the news?
We got lots of good in the news. So just before this show, about a couple hours ago, Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah,
which is so for those of you who don't know what a Nintendo Direct is, it's every few months, about quarterly. They have about four every year. They make a bunch of announcements kind of in a row. They have like a little video show basically where they just...
Like a press conference.
Kind of, yeah, except it's online so everybody on YouTube can watch it live and stuff. And Nintendo fans usually get hyped around it. There's sometimes big significant announcements. Sometimes it can just be content that isn't really... that exciting, but the one today had a lot of significant announcements. So a few of those, if you own a 3DS still, they're still pumping out content for that. They just announced that Luigi's Mansion is being remade on the 3DS.
What?
The original. There was a sequel on the 3DS, but that was 3DS exclusive, but the original is now being remade on the 3DS.
Awesome.
Have any of you played Crash Bandicoot ever?
Yeah.
No.
Love Crash Bandicoot.
The Crash Bandicoot remake trilogy, the Crash Bandicoot Insane trilogy that came out for the PlayStation 4 last year, is now coming out on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, sick.
So that's kind of neat because I don't think, like, since the GameCube since the Wii, there hasn't really been a Crash Bandicoot game on a Nintendo platform. So
that's
pretty crazy, and you're getting three right there. Trish, you are reviewing a game called Undertale for the magazine.
Yes, I am.
That game just got announced on Switch.
Ooh.
So that's coming out. That's pretty cool.
Okay,
that's
cool.
A big...
What do you think the benefits of playing Undertale on the Switch are going to be?
Just you get to play Undertale anywhere. I think for me, that is where I would actually ideally want to play Undertale. It's very much like a top-down RPG kind of like... It's not Pokemon... because you're not capturing things and stuff, but it's kind of like the Pokemon style of gameplay.
Yeah, it's like turn-based combat.
I don't feel like those kind of games... Like, for me, I prefer not to play them sitting down in a chair. Like, I don't know, you know, like
you want to be a couch boy.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like it should be on, like, a home console or, like, a PC.
Mm.
I'd rather have that in my hands and handheld. That just feels like handheld gameplay to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Undertale fits really well on the Switch. There's been a lot of games that have been ported to the Switch that... are kind of like smaller indie games like that, but they work really well on the go. So I think that's a big announcement. They gave out a little bit more info on... Have you guys heard of Dark Souls, Maddie and Trish and Noah?
No.
Yep.
Yes. So Dark Souls is a game series that is extremely challenging, extremely difficult. You die a lot. It's you basically go through a world and it's like a third-person perspective thing where you're fighting monsters and they're extremely strong, and it's a very popular franchise. It kind of created its own genre, so like there's a lot of games that come out that are like really hard, and people will say like, this is the Dark Souls of first-person shooters, this is the Dark Souls of blah, blah, blah. So they announced a little bit ago that Dark Souls was getting a remaster coming out on the Switch, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, what? I didn't know it was coming out on the Switch.
Yeah, that was a little bit ago. But they gave a little bit more details today. When it's coming out, I think it's coming out in May. when was that? Or no, June, July, whatever the fifth month is.
Isn't that May?
That's May. Yeah. May. So it's coming up in May. Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
So that's kind of crazy. We got.
So now you're saying there's two versions of the game that I would be awful at.
Yes,
two
exactly.
Things I can now suck at.
There's the original, and then there's the remaster.
Nice.
There's also the Prepare to Die edition. I think that was.
Oh my God.
That sounds inviting.
I think that was. I think that's Dark Souls 1. That might be Dark Souls 3. I can't remember, but that's on that's on PC. But so we also got. This is the announcement that I'm like really hyped for. Is we got Super Smash Brothers got announced for the Switch.
Nice.
Exciting.
And I
Just now?
Yeah, like 2 hours ago.
Okay. Ooh.
So
and everyone was shocked then.
Yeah, it's not super shocking, but I didn't think it would be announced so soon.
I just assumed that it would have already been on the Switch. Like I assumed it would have been one of the first games for the Switch. It's just like such a Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know,
like Smash Bros is a huge property. Like they have so many things to improve and balance basically. So, because they have so many different characters, there's like over 50 characters in that game. They have to balance it so no character is extremely overpowered towards other characters. Like it's not, you don't just pick one character over everybody else because they're way better. So,
like Captain Falcon?
But the thing is, here's the thing. Captain Falcon's really good. But you have to be really good with him. He's a challenging character, but he's really good.
I like me and my siblings. We made it a rule that you can't be Captain Falcon Smash because he wins every time. Like even if I played him and I'm not that great, I would beat my brother to a pulp, and he would get so mad at me. And yeah, so we made it a rule: no Captain Falcons.
So, the thing is, because there's so much balancing to do, and there's so many maps and so many different games and properties they have to get licenses for and stuff. Smash Bros. Games take a long time to make. So this, I don't think this is a brand new Smash Brothers. This looks like it's going to be...
Wait, when has there been a brand new Smash Brothers?
There was one for the Wii U. Ooh, what year was it? Oh my God. I can't remember.
What was new about it?
It was just a new Smash Brothers. Like they had... It was like a new art style. They had new maps. They had new characters. It was all new. Like it was a new mechanics. Like it was the same kind of gameplay, Smash Brothers gameplay, but they really tightened it up, because there was Super Smash Brothers for the N64, mm-hmm. which I'm sure all of you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
There was Super Smash Brothers Melee, which I'm sure you're all familiar with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then there was Super Smash Brothers Brawl for the Wii, if any of you guys know that one.
Yeah. I think I owned that one.
Yes. And then after that, for the Wii U, there came out Super Smash Brothers Wii U, and also Super Smash Brothers for the 3DS came out alongside that. So that was the first handheld Super Smash Brothers game.
Okay, but my point is this is some NFL 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18
Not really.
Franchise stuff.
This is kind of like... How do I explain it? Because every game feels very different. It's not like it's just.
That's
a
what
reskin.
My Madden friends tell me too.
Yeah, but like they all.
Yeah,
feel
but I swear this one is different.
It very much. is.
I swear.
It really is. There's only four games. There's so many games with like four different whatever. Like this isn't like there's like 12 games in the series. There's like four. They.
No, but I'm saying they're going the way of the Dodo, right?
Not really. Like. It really isn't.
Solid argument. Okay, so what's new? What's going on? Releasing it for the Switch?
So this is, I think this is a port of the Wii U one, because the Wii U had terrible sales. Like it's the Switch outsold, like it has more sales. It sold more units within its first year than the Wii U sold in its entire lifetime, which is like 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there were actually really good games on the Wii U. It's just, the Wii U had terrible marketing and everything, so there was a lot of things that didn't sell Wii U's, but there were a lot of games, and one of those was Smash Brothers for the Wii U. So they're porting a lot of games from the Wii U over to the Switch, and I'm thinking that this Smash Brothers is a port from the Wii U. It's not like a brand new Smash Brothers, they're just bringing it over, basically. And I'm actually really excited for that, because the Wii U one was really good. I had it, and it was very solid. Yeah. So that's a big announcement. Outside Nintendo, we have some other announcements. Division 2, Ubisoft property, got announced. We also got Call of Duty Black Ops 4. announced.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge Call of Duty fan or Division fan. I don't have a lot to say about those, but I know Black Ops is a really highly regarded series. Noah, do you have anything to say about...
Do you know what's going to be new in Black Ops 4?
I don't.
People are already making fun of the name.
I don't know.
Because of Roman numerals.
Oh.
Like this news article I read about it, because it's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. lines in a row, right? Yeah. And so, like, going through the article, they would, like, add a line on each time, and by the end, there was, like, 45 lines after Black Ops in it. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, okay, you can make fun of the name, but, like, the game's not any more original than the name is, right? Like... That's my problem. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, I raised the point about EA Sports franchises with Smash Bros. And it's the exact same thing with the Call of Duty franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can tell me that Black Ops 4 is going to be a different game than Black Ops 1. I ain't going to believe you.
I ain't going to play it.
Ain't going to play it.
Yeah.
No.
I won't play that.
No.
I mean, it really comes down to whether or not it's boots on the ground. Like, that's all people are going to want to know. Right?
What,
like,
do you mean boots on the ground?
Well, I mean, are we jumping around with jetpacks, or are we going to be boots on the ground?
Well, does the Black Ops series doesn't take place in the future, does it? Did the last one?
Black Ops 3 was not boots on the ground.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It definitely was not one of the worst of the series. Something like a Modern Warfare 3 or a Infinity Warfare or any of those kinds of things. But I think a lot of people are going to ask about boots on the ground. I think a lot of people are going to be concerned about zombies. Which is another big thing.
That's the one thing that I take away from Call of Duty is Call of Duty zombies.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
That was that was the one thing that held me into back in the day on my Xbox 360 when I had the only Call of Duty game I actually really liked was World at War, and I think it was because it had Nazi zombies for the first time.
That was the selling point.
That was good. Good stuff.
Yeah, and then that Division 2. I hated the first Division.
Maddie and Trish, have you guys heard of The Division?
No.
It's made by the same... It's made by Ubisoft. Have you guys heard of Ubisoft?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was touted as this big open world game where people could just... It's just like a city it's like a post-apocalyptic thing. I think the story had something to do with, like, there was like a virus that they spread with money or something. Like currency? I don't know. Wow. I haven't played it. But anyway, it was supposed to be like this big open world where people could just drop in and drop out and... you'd run into other players on the street and stuff, and it took place in New York, I think it was.
Yeah.
When they announced it, it looked like it was going to be incredible. Like they had really crazy graphics, and they had all these things they promised, and then when it came out, it was kind of
they Ubisofted it.
Yeah. So Ubisoft is notorious for announcing games and like showing
bungling them.
Yeah, showing trailers that. Kind of give an idea of something that they don't end up delivering like years later.
Yeah, like they show crazy graphics, they show all kinds of mechanics and things that don't actually ever appear in the real game. Like they'll show you it's going to be like the map's going to be 300,000 Earths wide and you're going to be able to use flaming dragon swords. And there's going to be graphics the likes of which you've never seen before, and then suddenly it comes out and it's like a game that you could play on a calculator. They lie. They blatantly lie.
That's
not
cool.
It infuriates me.
The original Division came out a few years ago, and when it came out, I heard mixed things. I heard some people say that they really liked it.
It was awful.
It kept their attention for a little bit, but it still wasn't what they thought it was going to be. And then I heard other people just straight up hate it, like Noah.
Yeah, because it took a year and a half for them to release all the downloadable content that they promised you in the original game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now there's a second one coming out, which is kind of surprising to me. I didn't think that there would be.
It's not surprising because dopes pay money for garbage. Look at Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah, it's stakeholders.
Tell us how you really feel, Noah.
Yeah, stakeholders.
Do I come off cynical at all?
A little bit,
yeah. I'm just looking up the graphics. It looks pretty cool.
It looks cool, doesn't it?
Yeah. It looked
That's
promising.
What we all said, Trish.
Yeah. So, one more piece of news I kind of want to talk about. We talked about this a little bit last week, but remember we were talking about the game H1Z1 and how the player base went from that, lost 90% of its player base to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite and those games.
Mm-hmm.
So H1Z1 just announced that they are going free to play. So you won't have to pay money for this game anymore.
Oh, nice.
Were they ever not free to play?
They weren't. You had to pay money for it.
Really?
Yep.
How much did you have to pay?
I think it was, don't quote me on this, but I think it was like $30.
Yeah, that
$20. I remember like looking at it and kind of wanting to play it before PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and stuff came out because it looked appealing, but there were mixed reviews and stuff. But I think this is a, like, I don't think they're going to be able to compete with Fortnite and stuff because they already have established player bases. But I think that this is the best move that they can make right now because Fortnite, which is arguably the most popular of this kind of genre, is free. I think this is the only way that they can really compete because they're clearly not superior to Fortnite. And Fortnite's free. So how can you compete with free?
Yeah.
Like, why would you buy a $30 game when you could play it free?
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that, but yeah.
Cool news, Jackson.
Yeah. That's your news update for this week. Hey, guys and gals. Jackson here. For this week's segment, I decided to go around campus and ask people if they could name three female protagonists in video games off the top of their head. The main criteria being that they have to be a protagonist, so it can't be Princess Peach or Princess Zelda because they are not the main focus of the game. I just thought it was kind of a relevant topic just because today, at the time of this recording, it's International Women's Day today, so yeah. Hope you enjoy.
Each other questions instead of asking repeat.
Okay, so can you name three female protagonists in video games? And they have to be protagonists, so it can't be like Princess Peach or something.
Lara Croft.
Does Xena have a video game?
Xena Warrior Princess.
There's really not that many. Sheamus or whatever. What's her name? Metroid. There's like The Last of Us or whatever that kind of shares a female protagonist, I suppose. Kind of.
Can you name three female protagonists in video games?
Evie Fry.
From?
Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Her and Jacob Fry are split. Mm-hmm. Lara Croft. And Samus.
No.
Yeah.
Any?
No.
Any
Lara Croft would be maybe one that I don't know.
Can you name three female protagonists in video games? And they have to be protagonists. They can't be like Princess Peach or Princess Zelda or something.
Lara Croft.
I was just about to say that.
I don't play video games.
Zelda?
You don't have to play video games.
Samus. I don't know what that game is.
Samus.
What?
I don't know what the game is with that one.
You're good,
I got two. Come on, guys.
I played a Hello Kitty video game when I was a kid.
Cooking Mama.
Ooh.
There you go.
But aren't you the protagonist?
She's still.
She's your
I
guide.
Mean, she's the.
She's, like the,
she's the host.
My brother's avatar in Fortnite is.
Breaking news.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Maddie sneezed.
Yeah.
That's it.
In other news, Noah, how about you take this one?
Okay, so I'm sure a lot of you might know, if you're interested in video games and politics, that Dr. Donald Glump just had a little news conference at the White House regarding violence in video games. And so that just wrapped up, and a lot of news places are reporting on it right now. Like The Verge just posted this article talking about how press weren't actually allowed inside the meeting itself.
Of course.
But they did happen. The White House just happened to post this video on their YouTube channel, the official White House YouTube channel.
The White House has a YouTube channel?
It does, baby boy. Isn't that weird that like people don't know about that?
Just like top 10 vines of...
Of the White House. So they just released this video, and it's called Violence in Video Games. Okay. Mm. And according to this Verge article, written by Russell Brandon, that's at Russell Brandon on Twitter, they started the press conference, they started the meeting of world leader plus his associates with this 3-minute compilation of violence in video games, titled Violence in Video Games. And it's just a super cut of random spliced together. It's like a little montage of like really gory kills in video games. So they have clips from like Fallout 3 and 4. They have clips from, your sort of Call of Duty games. With spoilers, may I say, they have the ending scene in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and Rust of the campaign.
Trump?
Yeah, I know, right? And so, so according to the article, attendees said that there was little serious talk of government restrictions on content, but the conversation focused on more robust age restrictions or voluntary measures that could be undertaken by the industry itself.
So what? So this is kind of, this is a response to the Florida school shooting, right? The Parkland school shooting, right? I feel like, I'm just throwing this out there,
sure,
but I think that Trump's
there.
Trying to, you know, steer the conversation away from the NRA.
Wait, oh, yeah. Control the narrative? No way.
Yeah.
He's, of course. He's surprised me. I think he's been actually, like, he, in a good way, he's surprised me. Like, he has been vocal in, like, raising the age limit of what, of buying a gun.
Sure.
Which, like, hasn't really been talked about. But anyways, this whole showing a montage and posting it on the White House official YouTube page of just, like, terrible scenes from video games to, yes, control the narrative and push his agenda. I think that is wrong.
Yeah.
With no context, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if you watch a horror movie, like, if you watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I sure did.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How much movie is there to get through to see the killing scenes?
Right, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot.
Also,
right?
It should be mentioned that these are all, they all have ratings on them and warnings on them to say there's this much, like there's this, this game contains gore, sex, whatever.
The good folks at ESRB, do not destroy your childhood without the intention of putting out a nice little rating there for your mom to be able to say no.
Exactly. There are systems have that in place. Yeah. To prevent children from seeing these things. Like, I mean, like, it's no different than watching a super gory movie like Saw or something, you know, like, I don't know.
It's been talked about for years. People are saying, oh, video games are creating violence. It's like nothing new, like, of a statement, but there's, like, no truth to it.
Yeah.
Right.
And Sir Trump, you're the one who is heard saying what you do to women when you see them, you grab them by the you know what. I think that that is a wrong message. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of women, as we talked about before, it is International Women's Day.
Woo!
Yay! Yay, women and men.
And men, yeah.
No, well, yay, no, no, no. Today is Women's Day. Yay, women.
Aw, thanks, Jackson.
For mansplaining that for her.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anyways, so yeah, we're going to talk about female protagonists in video games, some of our favorites. And
there's a lot.
Yeah, there's some good ones. And yeah, we're just going to talk about women in video games. And let's start with, okay, I saw an article today. It was like, this is the history of female protagonists in video games. And it said basically, like, you didn't really see females in video games until, like, mid-80s. And that was, like, Miss Pac-Man.
So wait, there was a Miss Pac-Man.
Pac-Man with eyelashes.
I did
basically.
Not know that.
Trish
existed.
Didn't know that.
No.
Trish.
I know.
And then you had like Peach,
right?
In
the
Mario franchise, but she was just there as the damsel in distress.
Exactly.
Wasn't
there another princess too?
There's a lot of princesses in video games.
Yeah.
No, not Super Mario. Was it the yellow?
There's Daisy.
Daisy. There you go.
Pauline.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And then what else? In Zelda, there's Princess Zelda, isn't there?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, there sure is.
There's a lot of females in the Nintendo.
Yeah, so those were some of the early ones. And then once you get into the 90s, like Tomb Raider started.
Yeah.
Is arguably like the one of the best female protagonists in video games, even though there are some issues there.
Let me ask you, what makes a good female protagonist in a video game?
Well, she's just bosses as heck. She's boss as heck. She just like
she's not a damsel in distress.
No, like she's the one that is saving the world, pretty much. Yeah, but then you go into like, her boobs are big and she's wearing a crop top while she's doing it.
So all I can see is that Kate Upton ad for that video game. I'm just like, oh my gosh,
what game was that again?
That mobile game, right?
Yeah,
what is it?
That would always pre-roll on YouTube videos.
Oh, it was like
stuff.
Battle
Clashers.
Yeah. I hated that commercial.
Come on, Kate.
Command your kingdom.
So yeah, Tomb Raider. What's her name? Lara.
Lara Croft. Lara Croft.
Lindsay. Yeah.
What?
No, not Lindsay.
Okay.
Good try.
Lindsay Crawford.
That's the one. That's what I was thinking of.
Who's that?
I'm just kidding.
that was a joke. Okay. yeah, and then who else was a good one? Samus from Metroid?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When that I realized that was a female, like...
That blew everybody away.
Yeah,
it was
like...
huge.
I was only introduced to Samus through Super Smash Bros. Melee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like, when I found out it was a chick, I thought that was super cool. Mm-hmm.
There was, when that happened, it blew everybody away. Like, when Metroid... I can't remember if it was in Super Metroid or Metroid 2 or the original that they revealed it, but basically that people played through the entire game thinking that, you know, they're playing as some crazy space whatever marine guy thing. Mm-hmm. And then they get to the end and it's revealed that it's a woman.
Yeah.
That knocked the socks off of everybody.
Mm-hmm. And that game was introduced in 1986.
That is one of Nintendo's like biggest properties.
Yeah. So like the fact that they made a female character in 1986 and made it not look so obviously female with like metal armor boobs and everything, like that's pretty big deal. Yeah, that was good. What do you guys think? What's your top female protagonists in video games?
How about you, Trish?
I have limited knowledge. But yeah, no, I've heard of the ones that Maddie said.
Yeah.
I do like Lara Croft. She's probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you, like, what makes a good female protagonist in a video game? What qualities do you want to see in a female protagonist in a video game?
Strong personality and just, like, yeah, like, someone just takes charge. Not the typical, like, damsel in distress.
So kind of like Ripley from the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
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 For sure. But yeah, I think Lara Croft, sorry. I watched the trailer for Tomb Raider and they were saying Lara, so.
It's L-A-R-A.
Yeah, I'm saying Lara.
I don't know, because they always spell it L-A-R-A for sure.
I think it's
I swear in the Tomb Raider movie with Angelina Jolie, they always called her Laura.
Yeah.
They might have.
Right? And then in these new games, she has a British accent for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Angelina, she had a British accent.
Did she put on a British accent?
Yeah.
I've seen the
movie
forever ago.
Okay, well, I literally watched the trailer like 45 minutes ago.
Okay.
And she had the accent.
Well, hush my mouth.
Yeah.
My question is, like, really, I have a problem with whenever, you know, journalists or reviewers or whoever I'm watching talking about it wants to talk about a female protagonist in a video game, they always feel the... Honestly, I noticed that it's a male trait more than anything else, is they always want to refer to her as like a badass character, like a badass female. She's a badass. Yeah, she's so badass. And I'm wondering, why is that like the automatic foothold that is like created as the standard for a female character? Why does she have to be badass? Why can't she be a regular human?
Well, I think the reason why people are stuck in that mentality of like, oh, she's a badass, is because like in media... Like anything, like females have traditionally been like the kind of like the side characters, the characters that are in the background and need help like from a man, basically.
Yeah.
And then then they were introduced to this like strong female character.
They're like, it's badass.
Yeah, like compared to anything else they'd seen, she was badass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true, but it's unfortunate that
you have to show like her physical, like boobs and everything like that, to kind of sell her.
She wears a crop top, Noah.
Right,
she's
no
so
kidding.
Badass.
Fair point.
But yeah, I think that like there are some complaints about her character's like initial appearance. Mm. So now she's like wears like a tank top and pants.
Yeah.
So that's
my contribution.
Thanks, Jackson.
I'm looking up some stuff.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Hacking the mainframe here.
Like, does she have to be?
No.
Kick butt and chew bubblegum Duke Nukem?
No, there's
does she have to be hammy over the top? Like, because the way, when I play, I played the heck out of the first, the new two Tomb Raider games. And Laura, like, she kills it, but she's not, like, what you'd think of, like, a cartoon character badass. You know, she's just, like, a human female.
She's a normal female.
Happens to be good at her job.
And thrown
and
into
works hard.
Crazy situations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all there is to it. And I, like, from my perspective, you know, which, like, take it as you want to, that's cool to me to see them not have to be like, yeah, she's like wicked over the top. Like, I was never a fan of Duke Nukem or, you know, any of the Doom games where like you have to be like ripping people's skulls off and like, yeah, I eat nails for breakfast or anything like that. Like, I'm fine with somebody being a human being regardless of their gender, like doing well at what they set out to do.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not your typical female, but Night in the Woods, the game that was developed here in Winnipeg, has a female protagonist. She's a cat. She, like, the story is literally she's a college dropout and she comes back to her hometown and you basically just live her life. It's very like it hits home. Like, if you've ever thought of dropping out to college or like, because she's from a small town,
you should probably play that game.
It's
if you've ever thought of dropping out of college
or whatever, I don't know. There's
some days
the character development in that game is so strong and it's really good, and she's a female protagonist and it's just kind of cool to see like a normal take on that. Like, she's not a badass by any means. She sleeps in. She like,
hey, badasses sleep in,
whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's stuff like that. There's another game, I haven't played it so I don't know exactly if I'm right, so anybody who's listening, if you're listening, you can correct me on Twitter or whatever, but there's a game called Life is Strange. The protagonist, and that's a female, and she looks very normal. Looks like a very normal game. I've heard it's like a walking simulator kind of thing.
What's normal, Jackson?
Looks like,
what is a
not
normal
a badass
woman
like,
look
just
like?
Just a not a badass.
Like, do you mean she's not sexualized?
Yeah, exactly.
She looks like just a normal.
Just a normal
person. Yeah.
That's cool. There's, I don't know, there's a lot of female. I have personal favorites, but you guys can keep talking.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's sweet of you.
And I saw today, Super Mario Odyssey for Nintendo Switch. I guess, like, I haven't played it, but I read today that, like,
so good.
When you beat it, Princess Peach, like, she's the damsel in distress, again,
don't
in that game.
Spoil this stuff.
No? It's
no,
on the internet, though.
That's spoilers.
Odyssey's old.
Yeah. Odyssey is not old.
It's on the internet.
But just let Maddie
just
continue.
Say it.
I
go
know.
Ahead.
Okay,
go.
Well, too bad, listeners. You can tune out for the next 30 seconds.
Spoilers for Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, okay. So, but I guess at the end, when you beat the game, Mario, like, hands Princess Peach this flower. And then instead of accepting it, being like, oh, thank you, she, like,
Throws it away
and is like, screw you, Mario. I'm going
right
on my own
on,
adventure.
Yeah.
So, like, good for you, Princess Peach.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
It's been how many years?
You know what?
Yeah.
There's also a main female in that game who is the mayor of a city. So there, if you guys played like the original Donkey Kong, like the original
like
one,
throwing barrels.
Yeah.
And
then you're Mario and you're trying to.
Yeah.
The princess in that one is not actually Peach. It's her name's Pauline.
Oh yeah.
And she's been like a reoccurring character in the Mario franchise for, you know, like a few games. She pops up here every now and then or whatever. But in Super Mario Odyssey, there's a level called New Donk City. So it's really weird. It's such a weird level. It's like life-size, like not life-size, but like realistic looking humans. And Mario's like this weird, looks like a gnome compared to them. But she's the mayor of this city, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely better now for like female representation in video games than ever before.
Mm.
There's still the issue of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very apparent still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just played that game for the first time in a long time.
Which one?
Five.
Grand Theft Auto 5,
yeah. And it was, like, it started out fun. I was playing with my boyfriend, and then, like, I literally was like, let's go to the strip club. Because I just, like, thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
And then we did, and then I just was sitting there, and it was happening, and I was like, oh, my God, like, young boys and men play this game all the time, and like it's so violent, and like there's prostitutes, and then
there's
also an M rating on that.
Yeah. Okay. And then anyway, okay. So point taken. But and then there's one where the main guy, he has his girlfriend, and then basically the only time you see her in the game is when he goes back to the apartment and does things with her. Yeah, so
does things.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, so we've come a long way, because, like, what, Tomb Raider came out in, like, the mid-90s, And then Grand Theft Auto came out in like 1998 or something like that.
Yeah, the OG one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so that's a bit of a step back. There should be a Grand Theft Auto with a female protagonist.
That would be so cool. Actually.
Yeah, like I will start a petition later tonight.
Yay. Do it.
I'll sign it.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. You strike me as a Grand Theft Auto player, Noah.
For sure.
For sure.
Absolutely, yep.
What are your thoughts on it?
As far as female representation?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I mean, yeah, no, there's no female protagonist in a Grand Theft Auto game. I think that it's the kind of game and it's got the writers behind it that could knock it out of the park if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way that the new Grand Theft Auto 5 was set up, like the storyline, the way that it's like a highly satirical social commentary is something that inherently lends itself to creating like a dialogue on the archetypes of different characters in the game. Like you have the son who is essentially the son of the main character. I can't remember the guy's name. Like the dad is Michael and then the son's name, whatever. He's the stereotypical person that Rockstar is, you know, making fun of playing their game, right? Like he's the kind of kid who sits in his dad's house all day and he's playing violent video games and he's eating junk food and all that. And he's like, oh, just a whiny wee boy. And so there are like multiple female characters throughout the game. Like we have Franklin's aunt. Who like is pretty cool in her own rights. I mean, she kind of runs her own game there, and you know, she's always fighting with Franklin, that sort of thing, and that's cool to see. Like, if you've ever had a family member that you know you have to get along with, but you don't tend to get along with well, then you can sort of know the relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, you know, Michael's daughter, who's just like. And again, it is a satirical kind of game, and it's making fun of like the vapidness of Hollywood and California lifestyle and Los Angeles and all that. So she's like a young, you know, naive, wants to get into acting and wants to get into modeling and that sort of thing, and just wants to be like a Kardashian Instagram star, right? And so, yeah, I know, right? And so she kind of, you know, her like arc throughout the game is like eventually she gets into a situation with like a stereotypical Hollywood shark, and he's like trying to exploit her. And so then, you know, one of your missions is to go and find that guy and like beat him up. I can't remember if you kill him or not, but you're like saving your daughter from herself, essentially.
That's in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, that's in Grand Theft Auto 5.
They're very good at telling stories.
No. Okay. Fantastic storytellers. So all this is just to say that, like, no, I don't think they create a female character in that game that acts like a normal human being. But at the same time, I don't think any of the characters in that game act like a normal human being.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like we've been getting a lot of good like narrative games lately that have female protagonists that have gained a lot of traction. So like, have you guys heard of The Last of Us?
Yeah.
No, I just thought of This Is Us.
Yeah, so no.
So The Last of Us, it was a huge game, and it was kind of like a zombie apocalypse kind of scenario, but it really focused on two characters that kind of drove the story. And it was like it was one character's name was Joel, and then there's like a little girl named Ellie, and it was basically kind of like a father-daughter relationship, even though they weren't related. They just kind of like, it was the zombie apocalypse and stuff. So they had that cool dynamic, and then in the next game that's coming out, she is the sole protagonist, Ellie. She's kind of grown up, and so she's kind of been very prominent. Last of Us is a lot of people's like favorite game almost of all time. Like I've heard a lot of people say that it's their all-time favorite game. So it's kind of cool that she is the protagonist. Uncharted. Have you guys heard of Uncharted?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have not.
I've heard of it.
So it's made by the same people that made The Last of Us, but this is arguably a bigger franchise. It's kind of like PlayStation's flagship title. It's one of their biggest franchises. And they recently released a game, like the main character has kind of been, Nathan Drake. He's like a...
Indiana Jones.
It's basically Indiana Jones. Like the games are like Indiana Jones. But he's had four games. He's been a huge, like he's like one of the icons. But they recently released a new game where they just had two female protagonists that worked together. And I think you play as both of them, but... that game was received well. We got Tomb Raider, like we said before. Horizon Zero Dawn, which I don't know, it's also recently new, but they had a female protagonist in that, and that was a huge hit. And then one of my favorites is Tracer from Overwatch. Overwatch is humongous.
Yeah, she's a gay character, right?
Yeah, they came out that she was gay, and that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but Overwatch has been really good with diversity and female, introducing female characters. They recently announced a new one. I think her name's Bridget. She's like this big tank, and she wears like armor, and she's a shield, and she's kind of like the opposite of what you'd think, like a stereotypical female character would be. But they also have they have a character named Zarya, and she's like a Russian. She's really muscular, and she's kind of got like a shaved head and stuff.
Okay.
But they also have like a female from India. So that's her name's Symmetra, and she's got these cool powers and stuff. And I don't know. They have a lot of cool diverse characters, and it's cool to see a game embracing that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. No. I heard we're still talking about Overwatch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it banned in Russia?
Overwatch.
I thought I read that today because of like the gay female character. They called it propaganda.
Oh, it was it wasn't the game, it was the comic that they announced that she was gay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Apparently I'm reading right now. Apparently it was banned because of gay propaganda law.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, that's Russia.
That's so strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like about Trish, would you say that games with strong female protagonists, are those marketed to women, or do you think more men play those kind of games?
That's a good question.
Like Tomb Raider, I would say, is more a man's game.
Yeah. I didn't really hear too many women saying that they liked it or like claiming to like it.
What would you say is marketing towards women? Like where would you draw the line?
Draw the line?
Like how would you, what would be the game that you would think be marketed to women? Like how would you market to women?
Pink. So much pink.
So you don't want to break the stereotypes that women could enjoy?
I'm just saying that's how it is. That's like what people do because they think that's the way to go about getting girls liking games.
Yeah. I feel like good storytelling, just as a general for both genders, we love a good story.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
So, arguably, couldn't these games that are being marketed, that you think are being marketed to men, be marketed to women? If they just want a good story, couldn't this capture their interest? If they're marketing it like they want a good story. It's not like they're marketing it like... I don't know what marketing to men looks like, but like...
Hey guys, once you're done drinking beer and kissing butts, why don't you hop on this new game box?
Exactly. Like, I think...
Not for you girls. No girls allowed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think...
I feel like there's not that much marketing towards women in general. Just because if these games do exist for women, they're not marketing it a lot to women. Because I haven't seen a lot of it. So if there was, I feel like there would have been more interest.
I kind of disagree. Like, I think that the older Tomb Raider games, they were kind of marketed towards men's kind of...
Libido?
Yeah, like they gave her like oversized breasts
made
it like an action game. And now
she was for men. She was
but
a babe.
Now they've kind of turned gear, like they've shifted and they've made her more realistic. They've made it grittier. They haven't like over sexualized her in these games. And I feel like that's something that women can relate to more than like a busty, you know, kind of Indiana Jones type whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's like they can't just dress her like, what do you think she should be like in a pink dress and doing this? Like, I feel like this is more realistic. Like, there was an argument before that when Overwatch came out, some of the characters looked really slim, right? They have characters that are like different body types and stuff, but one of the arguments was that like they're slim because they are like in the military or they're combat, like they have occupations that they would need to be fit for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think that this game's just marketed to people who want that story and want to experience that character's journey. I don't necessarily think that there's a way to market it to women that wouldn't be taken as like a stereotype. You know what I mean? Like, they can't really just...
I think it's tough to get out of, like, because the original Tomb Raider was very much marketed towards men. It's hard
to
shift.
Yeah, that's the thing
shift.
With that one. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's kind of like... Like, I liked Tomb Raider, but only because my brother liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he's the one that got it, and then I would see him playing it. And then I think we had it on PC, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We had, like, yeah, we had that one of those games. And then I saw him playing it because my mom or dad bought it for him, which is odd to me now. But, yeah, I don't know. I think where, like, one of the consoles that I think was marketed to both genders pretty well was the Nintendo DS.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, that's because they had, like, the pink DS, yeah. Which I was too cool for. I got the black DS.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I got the red one.
Oh, nice.
So, like,
good job.
Didn't even buy that pink DS, hey?
Do you need,
no,
do
no
you need pink
But it was
to
for
to
you.
Women?
It was built for you.
Yeah, no,
you aren't supposed to use the red and the black DS.
Well,
guys.
We don't want to be a stereotype.
Yeah. No, Jackson, I'm not saying like that's. I agree with that's how it should be done. I'm saying that's how it has been done. Like,
so,
that's just how it's been done.
So, I'm just saying, like, you don't think that they're marketing to women because they're trying to break the stereotypes and market to just a mass public rather than just women, if that makes sense?
Well, I think they're trying to do that, yeah. Mm. More games are going in that direction.
Like, I feel like they would get backlash if they just threw pink and stuff in there. You know what I mean? Like, there would be, if they were just trying to market it to the stereotype that is the women, that is women. I don't know. Noah, what's your take? You've kind of been quiet here for a little bit. I kind of want to hear your...
Well, I wanted to know what the women thought, Jackson.
Good answer, Noah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You hear that, guys? I'm female approved.
No, Jackson, you're great,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you're approved, too.
Well, no, like, there's games like Tomb Raider where, yeah, like, I don't know what the answer is of what that's marketed to, but, like, there are games that are clearly marketed towards girls and women.
Yeah, I feel like it's the initial marketing. If it's like Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, right? Since like that's how her image was, and they are changing it, which is a good thing. I think that's why it's harder for that game to kind of be seen as different now,
yeah,
because of its original image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I agree with that. I would still play it.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't stopped me from playing it, so I will in the future.
Why would you market a game towards women?
Like, just a game in general.
Yeah.
Because girls like video games, too.
Okay, so you like Tim Hortons coffee, right?
I do, yes.
Sure. So how often do you think Tim Hortons markets towards women?
This is an odd
zero
example.
Right? Yep. What does Tim Hortons sell?
Coffee.
Good Universal, coffee, right?
Yeah.
That's questionable.
Yeah. Sure. Questionable
maybe not
as
here.
It may be.
Debatable.
They might provide you with something less than good coffee, but what they sell is good coffee.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They sell good Canadian coffee. Yeah. Right? So my thing is asking why aren't women being marketed towards in video games is a bit of a silly question. Because if you wanted to market a game towards women, you'd sell a good game and market it to gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you just market towards women, then you're isolating an audience.
I just don't know what it means to market towards women.
That's what
women.
I mean,
like,
too.
You brought up, Maddie, like, oh, it has to be pink. Right?
That was like a
joke. No, but you have a point,
yeah.
Right? Because, yeah, that is traditionally what dummies in a room around a table.
What men in a
yeah, exactly.
Room do.
Yes,
yeah.
To be very clear, dumb men around a table are like,
how
oh,
we
we'll
market,
make it.
Yeah, how do we market to these women?
Yeah, exactly.
Add pink
we'll,
in there.
We'll color it pink and call her a princess, and you know, and they'll eat it up. And it's just like, yeah, if you're 4 years old, maybe. But to sell a gender a game, I think, is a little silly, personally. I think sell a game, you know? What does that mean to sell it to a gender?
Like, I think part of it, too, having a female protagonist, it's good to market it to everybody. Like, I don't know how you could market it to women, but I think it's good to show all, like, everybody that perspective of that protagonist, because it kind of gives you an insight into that. Like their world, like I can relate to Lara Croft even though she's a female and I'm a male. Like I can see myself in the protagonist, because that's what kind of games kind of let you be that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost like Black Panther came out, and it's kind of been like there hasn't really been a black superhero. And but I still felt like I could relate to that character. You know what I mean? Like, there's been so many.
Because it's a cool movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
If it's just a good game, then why does it matter? I think it's just they're just marketing to gamers. It's not. I don't think there is a market to males, market to females.
Well, there's definitely a market to males.
Oh, yeah. Let's not overlook that.
Yeah. I think one franchise that has done such a good job of like being so neutral is The Sims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As
absolutely.
You know, I love The Sims. And like, I think, yeah, like men play The Sims.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like, definitely more of my female friends are like Sims diehards, but like, it's very much open to everyone. Like,
I went through a Sims phase.
I went through a hard Sims
phase. Oh my God, it's the
best.
Yeah,
it sure.
is.
I would like marry them and divorce them.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And that's Trish going wild.
Yeah, that's me going wild.
Did you ever put the walls around the social worker when she came to take your
no.
baby? Or no, wait, you can't.
You aren't taking my baby.
Yeah. And
did
then
you build walls?
You can't do
did
that
Did you
anymore,
build
though.
Walls?
Yeah, did you? Anyways. Yeah, and then I saw, oh my God, I saw this article. It's by a woman named Elizabeth Hayes. It's called Girls Gaming and Trajectories of IT Expertise.
There you go.
And it's like, talks about the issue of like the lack of women who develop games and are like in the tech industry in general. And she talks about The Sims and how it's like a very positive game to get girls into the world of tech.
How's
like,
that?
Because of like the building, you know, you build your own avatar, you build your home, you play around with landscape. Like, it's like a very interactive game in that way where you very much are the boss in what happens, and you need skill to build a good house in Sims. And yeah, so she kind of argues that like that's one of the best games to get more women in that. It was a strange argument, but I agreed with it because I love Sims. I read it and I was like, see, mom. It's not a waste of time.
There's a lot of neutral games. Like, there's a lot of simulators and stuff out there. Like, there's City Builders and, like, you guys ever play Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Zoo
Tycoon was my favorite.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Like, there's a bunch of those. There's just games where there is no protagonist. You know, you just kind of you control things from a god's viewpoint almost. You know, like, I think real-time strategy games, like if you've heard of StarCraft or any of those kind of games, or Age of Empires and stuff, there's no protagonist, you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of games that are just kind of neutral.
No, there are. But you can't look me in the eye right now and say that there aren't games that are specifically targeted towards women.
Is that what you're trying to do, Jackson? Look her in the eye.
I'm looking her in the eye.
It's intense.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, no.
Choices.
Yeah.
Episode.
Ooh, yes.
Two
yeah.
mobile games that are very much for women.
Okay, yeah, tell me about Choices. I don't know what Choices is.
Okay, Trish, do you want to? I know you like Choices.
I love Choices.
Yeah. Do you like Choices, Trish?
Yeah.
Okay, we should
tell us more
about what it is. You go.
I have more information episode. Yeah. Well.
Okay, let's talk about episode because that's the game that I got first.
Yeah.
And then I went into Choices later. So I saw it. It was like promoted on my Instagram feed, and it was like it reminded me of The Sims. It was like two human beings, like cartoon characters, and it was like very much a story based series. But so many of the stories are revolved around you're a woman and the goal of the game is to, like, get the man of your dreams.
Get the man of your dreams.
Yeah, like, get the hot guy from school. And I, like, downloaded it right away.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, this is awesome. And, yeah, what's cool about Episode is you can make your own episode.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who plays it can go in and, like, make their own story for anyone to play.
Yeah, and they claim they have like 8.3 million storytellers.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, so like
that's a cool model.
Yeah, there's like a section where you can look at just like users that have made their own story, and they're not good.
No,
they're not pretty bad.
Ooh, yeah.
And yeah. I was bored one day and I thought about doing my own, but it's so much work.
Is it?
Like, I'm like, good for these people for yeah, it's a lot of work. And then Choices is very much the same thing. It's a little bit more high quality, I would say. But it's the same thing. Usually, I think you're always a woman. And the goal is, I know there's one story. It's like, you're trapped on a cruise ship all summer. and there's like three suitors who are trying to date you, and then you have to like get engaged to one by the end of the cruise.
Hmm.
Yeah. So do you want, is that something you would play, Jackson?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not really like a mobile gamer in general.
Yeah.
So
can you explain the format a little bit more? So it's like a point and click. Like it's a mobile game, and so once the screen comes up, you press play, and then it's like what? It's sort of like an interactive story.
Are you choosing text options, like things to like?
It's everything is like pre, like you have choices, literal like.
So it's like the Telltale Games, kind of stuff, like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, so go on. You like press the text options, and then each one. It's like the Goosebumps Find Your Own Adventure kind of thing.
It's choose your own adventure.
Like if you get a text, there's like a little bubble, right? And then.
So you're choosing dialogue options.
There's it's like dialogue, and then there's gonna be like a point where you're gonna choose: should you kiss him, or hug him, or walk away?
Yeah. Very dramatic.
Yeah, and then whatever you choose affects the story most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
and yeah, like you just lead out, you play out the game, the character, and you do end up basically with someone.
Yeah,
at the end of it all,
a dating.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, like, choose your wardrobe of the day.
Yeah.
And that has a big effect.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah, in choices, it gives you options to pay money to, like, wear the nicest dress out of the bunch.
Gives you choices.
Yeah. It's like...
Do you get gems at the end of those episodes, too?
Yeah. Finish an episode and you, like, get little gems.
Oh,
which
gems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scourge of mobile gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So this is something you both have put a lot of hours into.
Oh, yeah. I deleted it.
Taking over your life.
Yeah.
I was, like, counting down those minutes until I got
more
gems.
It's too hard.
So,
but, I mean, there's different genres, too, of stories. It's not just romance. There's horror.
That's true.
There's crime.
But so what do you guys play?
Romance. Most of the time.
Okay,
me?
So I think we've struck on something interesting here, right? Like
yeah.
when you watched it, like is that something like when you watched that Instagram ad, what was it? Was it billing itself as like find the man?
Was it marketing towards women?
I would say so.
Definitely does.
Cuz like the ad I saw, it was like, oh my God, something like have his babies or like something like that, something wild. And it reminded me of The Sims, and that's why I downloaded it.
Yeah.
And
it was The Sims that started it for me. And then I was like, that looks cool.
Yeah. You're very, you should play it. No, that should be in our
game. It's
pretty
interesting.
We should all
choices.
Play.
Yeah. I'm definitely down to give it a shot. Yeah. So is that something like, do you feel when you're playing that game, do you feel like you're being sort of patronized as a woman? Like that, it's like, ooh, find the man, and which
find
one are you gonna
man.
Pick?
It is
look.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit
but
in that realm.
Which I wouldn't knock in any way. I was a Desperate Housewives boy way back, and so that kind of juicy stuff, like I totally get the appeal for that, you know. So, like, is that something that you find? Like, that's why you get your enjoyment out of it? It's just like some pulpy stuff to turn your brain off to.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Desperate Housewives.
I miss it.
It was on Netflix. It's not on Netflix anymore.
Yeah, and so I read an article. Well, it's from Google Play. They did a study about women and mobile games. They found that, let's see, I believe 65% of women play mobile games than men.
That Candy Crush.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So the top three type of games women were playing were the match three games, like Candy Crush.
Yeah.
And then it was Family and Farm Sim was the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was a casual puzzle.
Okay.
Casual puzzle.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah. Bottom three were sports, tactical shooter, and racing.
Oh, my God.
Which
I
makes
hate
sense.
Sports games.
Yeah, for me.
My brother would force me to play NHL 2004 with him, and I hated it so much.
What, because you couldn't, like, slap any fat danglers from the end zone? Couldn't score any hoops
what
in the big basket?
What does that even mean?
It was so slap bad.
Couldn't go bar down from the goal line? Take a couple of blues for the boys?
Okay, wait, what's a fat dangler?
Like a dangle. Like dangling around that D.
He'll never know.
This is getting overhand. I think, you know what? I think we're out of time anyway.
Okay.
That fat
why
dangling.
Are you trying to censor us?
That, whoa, whew. You know, I'm
it's getting
sweating
hot
over
here.
Getting a little
getting hot.
Jackson's hot in the booth.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all the time we got.
Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to tune in when we release our next episode.
New episodes every
whenever.
Episode 3 or episode 2?
I think episode 2. All right, well, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.